relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
The radical Democrats are trying to capture Georgia's Senate seats so they can wield unchecked, unrestrained, absolute power over every aspect of your lives. If the liberal Democrats take the Senate and the White House, and they're not taking this White House, we're going to fight like hell, I'll tell you right now.
We're going to fight like hell. Welcome, friends. That was the president yesterday in Dalton, Georgia, before today's runoff election. If you're in Georgia and if you haven't voted, go and vote now. It is crucial. It is essential to stop radical forces that have made themselves known to the whole world from taking over the Senate. That you vote today. Tonight, while I was in Missouri, Antifa scumbags came to our place in D.C. and threatened my wife and newborn daughter who can't travel. They screamed threats, vandalized, and tried to pound open our front door. Let me be clear. My family and I will not be intimidated by left-wing violence. Josh Hawley. That is a text of a tweet that was sent yesterday. The Republican senator was out of town on business. His wife and newborn child were alone at home with no security, no Capitol Police officers to protect them, and Antifa tried to intimidate his wife alone at home with that newborn child. Why? What had he done? Was he a criminal? Had he stolen public assets from the people of this nation? Had he set free other criminals? Had he embezzled funds? No. His crime, his sin, was to be politically of a different identity to the, quote, Antifa scum. And yes, he is right to use the phrase Antifa scumbags, because that is who they are. His greatest sin was to be the first person from the upper house, from our Senate, to unequivocally say that he will raise a different voice, that he will be the individual who, outside of the White House, outside of the presidency, is prepared to believe in concepts such as America First, and that elections must be transparent, that elections cannot be stolen for any party, because that way leads the destruction of our republic. Let's be clear what is happening tomorrow here in Washington, D.C. Those who believe in the process of raising objections to the Electoral College vote in numerous states have been accused of encouraging a constitutional crisis. There are voices in the quote-unquote mainstream media. We played clips for you yesterday during our show of people who say this is a coup. We had one host of a CNN program who calls himself a journalist, who is presented to the world by that company as a journalist, that he says there are, to quote a historic figure, only two types of people left in America, and those that are going to raise objections on Capitol Hill are traitors. Yes, he said that. Now, maybe this is pointless, but let me lay out very clearly what is going to happen. There is no usurpation of rights by those senators and congressmen and women tomorrow. They are taking actions they are not authorized to take, that are against the Constitution. They are living with the rights given to them by the Constitution. It is the antithesis, it is the counterpoint to a coup or to treasonous activity, because they are exactly using the rights stipulated for them peacefully, not through force of arms, not through some abrogation of a constitutional limit, but exactly in their stipulated mandate that if they have concerns, that they may raise them. There is a reason that the Electoral College votes are not advertised, are not declared by the state houses, that they must be transmitted from the individual state houses of our republic to the capital city. This is not an invention of Josh Hawley. This is not some kind of executive order by the president. This is the Constitution of the United States that is clear that a joint session of the Senate and the Congress must advertise, must declare in the final personage of the president of the Senate, the incumbent vice president, who happens to be Mike Pence. That is the order of our Constitution. It occurs here in Washington, D.C. It does not occur in the state houses of this republic. And it may only occur after all objections are debated and are voted upon by each house. I did not come up with that. Josh Hawley didn't come up with that. Mitch McConnell didn't invent it. It is a constitutional order. And just to illustrate that, we will show you a montage just a clip of all the times that the Democrats have done exactly the same, where they have lived with, they have enjoyed and practiced their constitutional right to object to results that they deem to be questionable, if not fraudulent. It was fine for the Democrat Party then. It is only treasonous. It is only a coup today because they think their candidate, quote unquote, won. Because the questions and the objections come from Republicans who share the same party as the incumbent president. Now, suddenly, these objections are unconstitutional. On the contrary, they are the purpose of the Constitution to make sure that it is the will of the people that is exercised by the political elite. I cannot predict for you what will happen tomorrow. Nobody can. But I know one thing. It is the right, it is the constitutional thing for us to do. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you're in Georgia, vote, vote, vote. Next, the one and only Victor Davis Hanson.
This is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome back, dear friends. It is so good to be back in the studio. I took a few days off to crush the C-19, and I'm so grateful to our guest hosts, Kurt Schlichter and Jennifer Horn, for standing into the breach. But it is time to get back to work, especially given the events in the next 48 hours here in Washington, D.C. We must ask our regular guest first off his predictions. He is the author of The Case for Trump, senior fellow with the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, classics and military historian. Follow him right now at V.D. Hanson. Professor Hanson, let me ask you first. Georgia, the state that will see the fate of the Senate before it, what are your expectations?
Well, I don't have nothing unusual to add, although it's going to be very close, because all of the traditional barometers should favor the Republicans, because both Perdue and Lawther won their November election, and they won by about 100,000 votes or plus. Plus, there was a Libertarian candidate in one race, so that both votes should go to the Republicans. And usually the runoff eventual winner is the one who won in the general election. But this isn't usual, because there's been over $110 million invested in both of the left-wing candidates, and they've outspent the Republicans by about $40 million each. And then we've got, 45% of the votes have already been cast before today through this mail-in. And then we have the problems with, authenticity, and then you have Stacey Abrams and her voter registration project. And you almost get the impression now that it doesn't really matter who the Democrats run, because these are weak candidates. They both had a lot of scandals that have come out. But they have a system now of mail-in early voting, huge amounts of capital from Silicon Valley, academia, Hollywood, Wall Street, and then this new registration process, where you vote harvest, or you get it, and the Republicans don't have an antidote to it yet.
And would you expand upon a point you made last night, Professor, on Fox News, where you talked about the political identity of Georgia as a state historically and the radical character of the two Democrat candidates? What is that an indication of?
Well, I don't know. You know, I pose that as a question because, I mean, empirically, I could say, well, the greater Atlanta area now is 6 million people. That's half of the population. It's a suburban, non-southern city. They've got high tech. They've got a lot of finance. They've got a lot of academics. So it's not a typical southern enclave. It's not like Birmingham or Biloxi or any southern city. Okay. And they've had a lot of, almost a half a million to a million illegal immigrants come in. But when these things happen, like they did in California, it's over a 20-year period.
Yes.
If this thing, if both those senators are elected, it's not going to go from red to blue. It's going to go from red to, if I could use the expression, bright red. Red as in revolution. Because these will be the two most left-wing senators in the U.S. Senate, much more than my state, Dianne Feinstein, or even Chuck Schumer, as I said. So this is what's weird about it. It went from red to blue beyond without a purple stop in between.
And let's flip to what will be happening here in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. Are you surprised? I mean, it took a long time, but are you surprised by the final numbers we are seeing, that we have more than 140 members of the House and a dozen senators who have committed, including Loeffler, who have committed, if she wins, to objecting formally to various of the Electoral College votes? Did you expect that?
I did, but I'm a pretty cynical guy anyway, but I think what happened was that there was a understanding that they're not going to have the votes to reject the electoral delegation, the electoral counts per state. But there was sort of a contrition that had they started earlier and more effectively, they might have had greater traction. So a lot of people are voting belatedly to reject or to question the electors. And on the assumption that we're not going to have a constitutional crisis, they won't be in the majority.
So this is done as a gesture?
Not so much a gesture as a political reality, so they don't get primary. I think a lot of the people, when you look at that list, they are in areas where the MAGA margins are such that they will be primaried unless they go on record that they are going to match word with deed, whereas the other ones are in mixed districts. And so they're not going to do it. I think what happened with the whole debacle is that they were so caught by surprise, everybody was, that critical 2 or 3 weeks, the left just came out and silenced everybody and said, it's impossible, you know, go away. But there were things that came out later had they come out earlier. And I'm not blaming anybody because it took a while. Everybody was in shock. But by that time, Biden was appointing cabinet members and momentum, and the media was in full gear, and people didn't really wake up to how bad it was until it was very late.
But with historic perspective, should anybody have been surprised with the way that election ended up, with months in advance, the Democrats saying we're going to send out 80 million unbidden mail-in ballots? Is there any excuse, in other words, for being surprised?
Well, you know, I did a lot of interviews and that day, and I remember maybe 10 of them. And I remember being surprised by some of the conservative people said, this is going to be a landslide. And I said, I think he's going to lose the popular vote. And I did say that I thought he would win the Electoral College. But the reason I was kind of skeptical was for what you just outlined, that there had been all of these changes in the state legislature's laws, and they were bureaucratic or judicial. They were unconstitutional. But the effect of them was that almost anybody could vote with same-day registrations, 10 days after the election postmark, you name it. Early voting, it was just going to be a debacle. And then the other thing is, a lot of people, to be fair to them, they looked at the the car rallies with Biden with, what, 50 cars?
Yeah.
And then 60,000 people with Trump. And you'd have to be from another planet to think that Biden could win because he was cognitively challenged. He didn't campaign. When he did speak, it was a disaster. Trump was robust. Trump had beaten the COVID virus. Trump had a great second debate. And then you had to say, catch yourself and say, now, wait a minute. 60 to 80 million people didn't see the second debate. They'd already voted.
Yeah.
And so when you started to factor in these other subtleties, and I was trying to say that on election day to a lot of people, I said, you know, if you think about it, this thing is possible to lose the popular vote because they rigged the system with early and mail-in voting, and then they control
They surely had a plan. We will see if it will bring fruit. We're talking to Professor Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution here on America First on the Salem Radio Network. Back with the good professor after these messages. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
I haven't even mentioned our phone number, and the call board is full. God bless you, lots of great regulars, Don, Joe, Ray, Brent, don't go anywhere, but we have to continue our regular discussion with one of your top favorites, Victor Davis Hanson, author of The Case for Trump and at Stanford Institution, senior fellow as well. Follow him right now at VD Hanson. His latest piece on American greatness is Defenders of Civilization. Using that as the context, I must show all our viewers and listeners the scene outside Senator Hawley's home last night when his wife and newborn child were alone inside as they were being intimidated by Antifa. So, Eric, play video.
We're not going to let people hold our democracy hostage. We're not going to let them infringe on our rights. Every ballot has been counted. It is over. So when democracy is under attack, what do we do? When democracy is under attack, what do we do? What do we do? We are not going to let these fascist, racist, and ignorant people come into our town and come into our community.
We're not going to allow these fascists to come to our communities as they stand there with a bullhorn on his property, on the front porch of Senator Hawley's home. Professor Hanson, your latest piece, we're going to post it now on our Twitter and Facebook feeds, is Defenders of Civilization. And you respond exactly to this kind of phenomena, and you put it in the context of these schools that are now being renamed from Abraham Lincoln. And you ask a very simple question. What happens if one principal, just a single superintendent, if a few parents, three board members say, nope, we are not erasing Lincoln's name, no way, no how. Why is that not happening? And isn't that why we are seeing these scenes outside the senator's home?
It's exactly why. And it's the logic of the Bolsheviks. It's the logic of the Committee of Public Safety during the Reign of Terror of the French Revolution. It's the logic of the Salem witch trial. That a small minority terrifies and builds up an atmosphere of hysteria, and then everybody feels that if they accuse somebody else or keep silent, they'll be okay, and they don't really take a deep breath and say, you know what, we can crush these people if we all stand together. So it is a felony to threaten a public official and to trespass and to commit vandalism, go on their property. So all you would need is one prosecuting attorney anywhere in any of these big cities. You know, when they burned the courthouse in Portland, are they going into Seattle and occupied whole swaths of the downtown, or they destroyed Minneapolis? Just one person said, did this person cross a state line to come into Minnesota? And they do. And charge them with interstate racketeering or whatever. Those are federal felonies with long prison sentences. And just indict some of these 20-something-year-old middle-class kids in Antifa, and I think it would stop very – and same with BLM. Every time they go into a restaurant and they push people and assault people, charge them with assault and see how long that lasts. I think you would stop the whole thing very quickly.
So is it just the age-old challenge of leadership? I mean, you have written the seminal works such as The Soul of Battle. Is it just waiting for that example to be set?
Yeah, the proverbial whiff of grape shot, I guess they said of Napoleon. But somebody has to stand up and say, you know what, we're not going to take this anymore. Then people will rally. When I was a young kid, there was a guy, I don't know if you remember him, S.A. Hayakawa. He was a San Francisco linguistic professor, and they did this exactly what you're describing at San Francisco State. Bullied people, shouted, and they violated all the pre-speech rules, shouted into classrooms, disrupted. And he was this mild-mannered, you know, 50-something linguistic professor,
said
Japanese
no.
American.
Yep.
And he went right on, he just pulled the wire out of the thing and said no more. And they elected him California senator. He became a national iconic figure.
We have 1 minute left, and I have to ask you this because everybody wants to know what VDH thinks. Do you think we might be close to those examples being set by average Americans? Could we be near to that moment?
Yeah, I think we're going to be going to see a lot of heroes in the next 60 days. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, you're not going to tear down this statue. You're not going to cancel this class. You're not going to destroy this person's reputation, and see what happens. And I will bet you that there is no popular support for this revolution. But this revolution will win if people don't stand up and speak out.
I have to say, that thought excites me. Not in a perverse way, but to finally see the courage upon which this nation was built echo down to the current situation. You heard it here first from Victor Davis Hanson. The heroes are coming. God bless you, sir. Happy New Year. He's the author for The Case for Trump. We're going to post his article right now. You must read it. Defenders of Civilization at AmericanGreatness.com. This is America First. Your calls next here on the Salem Radio Network from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Drug-free pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker, and I've been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years, my old knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor, and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That is the message from tens of thousands of Americans. See their incredible video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com, and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for the measly sum of $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call them now on 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Back with your calls on 833-334-6752.
Deep in the swamp. First place in your hearts. America First with Dr. G.
Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? You can be honest. That one thing you really wanted, and they didn't get the hints. Treat yourself. Do it! Now, go to MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell, our good buddy, great American, because you're a friend of mine, is going to give you more than 60% off the pillow that has sold more than 51 million of. Use my name at MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. Not $69.98. $29.98. And all of his other incredible products with the deepest discounts if you use my name. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. The pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape, guaranteed for 10 years. Just treat yourself. You deserve it. Let's go straight to your calls. Line one. Don, happy new year.
Dr. G, welcome back to the fold. The rolling thunder of Radio Free America.
Hey, how long am I allowed to say? I'm going to ask Don's opinion. How long am I allowed to say happy new year?
Oh, well, at least until Epiphany.
Correct! Give that man a cigar. You got it right.
Dr. G, it's so great to hear your voice again. I thought you were just taking some time off, a well-deserved rest.
I was going to come in between Christmas and New Year's, but then the C-19 got me, but then I crushed it. So 3 days is all it took.
Yeah, those measly microbes, they have no chance against you. You just crush them like the vermin they are. Good for you, Dr. G.
Had to be done. You know, all right, what brings you to our show today, Don?
Well, I'm a little disappointed, you know, as you are. You know, there's, as it says in the Bible, you are weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Yes.
You know, so many of our so-called Republican conservative friends are showing the white feather, Dr. G, as they used to say in cockfighting. And it's very disappointing. You know, people that you thought were stand-up guys, you know, like Mr. Cotton, it's very disturbing. You know, it's because... What's the precedent you're afraid you're going to set standing
what's
up
your
against
theory? What's your theory? What's your theory for Cotton? Do you have a theory, Don?
No, just that I would just need to know more because he's someone who's been so good on so many issues. Oh, but just real quickly, I just remember I sent you guys a proper handwritten Christmas card. I don't know. It's probably working its way through the snail mail, but I just be looking for it. I send it
we
to
shall.
The Arlington address.
We shall be looking for it, Don. And yes, you're absolutely right. When you've had such a decent track record, to do what Senator Cotton did is all the more disappointing. Let's stay on these issues. Let's go to Joe in California. Happy New Year, line two.
Hi, Dr. Gorka. You're
hey.
Terrific. Great show, as usual.
Thank you.
I have a comment, and I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way Low Energy Joe received 80 million votes.
Correct.
There's no way. And we can see at his events, and even in Georgia, nobody shows up. Nobody shows up. But my question to you, Dr. Gorka, if President Trump decides not to attend the inauguration, how should he position it with the American people, and especially realizing during his inauguration in 2016, Obama was there, Biden knew, they were investigating him at that time.
Yes.
Why should the president even think about attending the inauguration?
Look, it would be, I'm old-fashioned, I'm old-school, and especially... Not just because I worked for him, but because he's recently appointed me to a DOD post. I just don't think it's right for me to say what the president should or shouldn't do on January the 20th. But I'll just answer your question this way, which I can do. If it were me, there's no way on God's green earth I would stand at that podium. Because if I did, by my presence alone... I would be acquiescing, I would be recognizing the voter fraud that put that man in office. So the president will always do what the president wishes to do. I've heard the stories, and I hope they are credible, that he wishes to hold a rally the same day as any possible Biden inauguration. I think that's a fabulous idea. But there's no way. I'm not going to recognize Joe Biden if he becomes president because I know he didn't win it. I know that a senile old man hiding in his basement, as you said, who was incapable of having rallies that You know, we had more people watching our live stream on this radio show than we're watching Biden's rallies. What does that tell you? Does that mean I could have become president because I have more people paying attention to me? Of course he stole it. And we mustn't recognize that. We mustn't legitimate it by our behavior. So I don't know what's going to happen on January the 20th. I don't know what the president's plans are. All I know is if it were me, I would not be on that platform. Let's go to Anthony, line one, North Carolina. Welcome.
Hey, Sebastian Gorka, hello.
Hello.
Tom Cotton, you know, is suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. Not only the established right-wing Republicans beat on him, but so did the weirdo left-wing Democrats, and they're all gone weird, except for our man in Virginia.
So what do you, what do you think the answer, what do you think the explanation is?
I'm telling you, it's Stockholm Syndrome. They've been prisoners so long and beat up, browbeat, and abused that the minute the wind blows left or right, they go right along with it.
But he's a combat veteran. He served in Afghanistan.
There's a lot of combat veterans that got a 1,000-mile stare. He might just have one, all right?
All right. Thank you, buddy. God bless, Anthony. Great call. Ray, Brent, Joe, don't go anywhere. We're having far too much fun. This is America First. If you're watching us on YouTube, you know, little like. If you're watching the live stream, hit the like button. If you're not subscribed, why aren't you subscribed? Look for America First, Sebastian Gorka. Hit the subscription button, hit the notifications bell twice, and you'll never meet a thing. We just crossed 27 million views on our YouTube channel. You can catch it anytime you want. That's the great thing. We'll be back with your calls here from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. I don't need a script. I don't have talking points. I've lived it now for 2 years. I'm pain-free. My low back pain issue plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free. Just like Yvonne in California. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Do you hear those words? Pain-free. That could be you. Find out if it is your solution by going to ReliefFactor.com for a 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. You can call them on 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it every morning and every evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans, Yvonne included. 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Do it now.
Hey, Dr. G, I thought I knew what a real swamp was, but this here Washington, D.C., it's more putrid than the bayou at low tide in August.
And it's going to get even stinkier tomorrow. Let's go straight to your calls. Ray in Livermore. Happy New Year, my buddy.
Indeed. Happy New Year, my friend.
Are you working? You sound like you're on the road working hard.
Yes, sir. I'm in the rolling dining room, the rolling money maker. It serves multiple purposes. Hey, great monologue. Great show as usual, Doc. And you were talking about Josh Hawley.
Yes.
And it reminded me that, you know, I don't have to tell you, Dr. Gorka, that gravity keeps us connected to the earth. If I were repeating that every day, you would think that there's something wrong with me or the sky is blue.
Right.
But when you have to use threats and intimidation or repetitive messaging to convince people that your message is true, it tells me that it probably isn't true.
Very good.
And it shows that they have no faith in what they're talking about, that they have to threaten us into alignment with what they're doing. And my Spock detector goes up. Captain, this data does not compute.
Yeah.
Okay.
When they have to repeat it again and again and again, it's not a statement of fact. It is indoctrination. You're absolutely right.
And I have a prediction of Georgia also. If the Republicans, the two Republican senators, are ahead at 10 o'clock tonight, and voting continues through the evening to tomorrow, they will win. Now, if vote counting stops magically in the middle of the night, you can count on a blue wave appearing when no one's counting votes, and that will be a double Republican loss. Yeah. That's my prediction for Georgia.
I think that's a very, very sound prediction. Let's see. Everybody in Georgia, go and vote now. God bless you, Ray. Happy New Year. Let's go to our other buddy in Los Angeles. Brent, line four.
A victorious American New Year, Gladiator Gorka.
I like that. We should have a victorious New Year. Thank you. What would you like to raise today?
Well, first, I wanted to congratulate you on crushing effortlessly that cowardly communist COVID-1619.
Oh, I like that. Cowardly communist COVID. I'm going to have to use that. I love that, Brent.
And on Election Day, we need to remember God, truth, and liberty always must trump democracy. There are beliefs which Americans are not allowed to vote for, such as human slavery and Maoist mass murder. And we mustn't forget, Adolf Hitler was democratically voted into office.
Yes.
So socialists never become sweeter, softer, or magnanimous in victory. They only become more savage, sadistic, and murderous.
That is so true. When in victory, the only thing that's guaranteed with a socialist is they become ever more deadly. God, truth, and liberty is our guidestone. God bless you, Brent. Happy New Year. Next, Lord Conrad Black and his predictions for the next 48 hours.